welcome back, everybody. Time to grab your gear, take to the road. As we hop on the e-bike revolution and talk to the entrepreneurs driving it all and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, we've got some very active participants in the story. We want to welcome Brenda and Michael Hudson. Did I get that name correct here?
Yeah, yes. You did.
Okay, Brenda and Michael. You always have to say the woman's name first. They have it the other way. So I have to say Brenda and Michael. I'm old school here. And let's start with Brenda. You're a couple of e-bike enthusiasts here. Brenda, I'm looking at your bio here. It's pretty impressive. Top producing associate broker, realtor, Coldwell Banker Premier. That's not just the regular ones.
That's right.
You've gotten 5-star awards and lots of things here. So you're pretty active at a time in life when people are starting to slow down. I didn't ask you how old you are, but you look like you're around my age, and I'm an aging baby boomer here. So people keep saying, when are you going to slow down? Do you ever hear that?
Not yet.
Good. Well, so maybe I'm guessing wrong, but it sounds like you're somebody that is not going to ever retire or slow down.
I don't see that coming for me. I am 61 years old.
Okay.
But I'm a very active 61-year-old.
It certainly sounds like it, because in addition to all this, you decided that you wanted to get out and start riding alongside your husband, who had been a lifelong road biker. But what I'm told is you didn't want to drag him down. You didn't want to hold him back. And so you guys stumbled into a Pedegor store in Delaware somewhere? What's the town?
In Lewis, Delaware.
That's the
first city in the first state.
I'm a big history buff. I didn't know that was the first thing.
Yes, it is.
I will tell you, just as an aside, I hope this doesn't offend anybody in Delaware, but I don't really know a lot about Delaware, other than it's a very small state. And I was on a quest to see all 50 states by the time I was 50. So I took trips all over the place in my spare time. And one time I went to Philadelphia, and I said, well, I got to drive down to Delaware. It's not that far away. So I just literally drove down to Wilmington, drove around and said, okay, been to Delaware. But I'm still not sure what's there other than Wilmington.
Well, we have
You didn't come far enough south, Paul.
That was the key. That was the key. I just drove into Wilmington, drove around for an hour, had lunch and said, okay, I've been here. Check that one off the list. And I thought, there must be more to Delaware than that.
Hey, we have the Atlantic Ocean on our coast and the Delaware Bay. We're a big resort area, and we're known as the vacation place for those in D.C. Michael, what was that called?
The nation's summer capital.
That's right.
Oh,
that was Delaware's brand back in the 60s and 70s and probably through part of the 80s.
Well, I'm a history buff, and I know there's a lot of revolutionary history and early stories there and old mansions and whatnot. The DuPont family came from there and all the stuff they did. So I don't know enough about Delaware, so I'll confess. I usually try and pretend I know a little bit about something. I know very little about Delaware, other than you guys went into a store there and decided you might have an answer. This might be a way to ride along with your husband and not hold him back. Was that the motivation here?
Well, here's how it started. Our house is right across from the new rail to trail project in Delaware.
Wow.
And so this was wonderful, you know, for my husband, because he is the biker.
And we've talked about the rails to trails move. In fact, we're still trying to get somebody on from that. I never heard of until this show. And we've talked a lot about it in the show. There's a lot of stores near rails to trails, a lot of people riding it. What is that? They take old railroad lines and they turn them into... From rails
they
to
do.
Trails, right?
They do. And it makes a wonderful place to ride. So anyway, Michael was riding on that with his road bike, and me trying to keep up behind him with my little hybrid. It's almost impossible. And I kind of gave up. And then I was at home thinking about it. How in the world could we go out together and me be able to keep up and yet him still be able to keep his pace and get the exercise that he wanted?
Right.
And so one day we were out at lunch at a restaurant across from the Pedego store. And I said, hey, how about if we go over to Pedego store and check that out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did. And the people in there, the guy that was actually there and talked to us, his name was Lenny. He asked us, he said, hey, t- take them for a ride. Pick any of them and just go for a ride.
Wow. Wow. You don't get to do that with too many products. You don't get to take the, the toaster out for a ride. Go take the toaster home and make some toast and see how it works.
Well, I'll tell you what. We did it and we came back. And I said, Michael, I think this will work for me to keep help me keep up with you. Yeah. And we could ride together again. And so I purchased my boomerang. We came back and after Lenny got it ready for me, and that was in December. And, you know, I've been riding ever since. But I think it was, Michael, what was it, in April you got your bike?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Well, because I don't want to make this sound too corny, but it sort of boomeranged and made you come back again here. Because what I'm told is you were originally trying to keep up with him, and somewhere along the way, Michael, you said, hey, I got to keep up with her now.
Well, Paul, here's among the things that, you know, about Delaware to know is in southern Delaware, the wind blows in every direction.
Every direction, all at once, all the time. Right?
And,
you know, we would go on these nice rides and I would be exhausted trying to get home because we had a 15 mile an hour wind in our face and because she could get faster than me now and would run away from me.
Yeah, right.
So I got great workouts, but I realized this is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having gone on the test drive with her, Paul, one of the things I recognized was I was kind of blown away as a lifelong road bike rider at the kind of workout I could get on an e-bike.
Talk about that, because that's something people don't expect. I'm not sure I expected. You think it's a way to get out and get active again. Gee, I've had a heart attack, or I'm older, or whatever. We had William Shatner on. He's 90, for Pete's sake. It's the only way I can get out and ride a bike anymore here. And yet, more and more, I'm hearing people say, I'm losing weight. I'm getting healthier. I'm getting a workout on an e-bike? How does that work?
Well, you know, you've got options.
Yeah.
You know, I've got six options, five speed options, and one where I don't have any assist, and I just have that little throttle that when I need to go somewhere or get out of the way
for
or
a second,
cross a road,
right.
I can do.
Right.
And the thing, you know, I'm not a fast guy. I'm a 16, 17 mile an hour guy on my road bike on typical. Mm-hmm. And I'm test driving with her and it's like, okay, I'm going to put the thing up in six and see what happens. And I'm still cranking along at 16, 17 miles an hour, very happily. She's keeping pace and everything's fine. I realized that made a lot of sense. And as you know, we started doing longer rides because now she could engage in a longer ride and enjoyed it. It became a challenge occasionally to get back home on the road bike. And I said, you know, since I know I can get a workout, let's go take a look at them again. And so went and bought my Ridge Runner and love every minute of it.
Is that part of this, the benefit that that we don't think of? It isn't just that it gets me out. It gets me over the hurdle. It gets past the excuse. Oh, I'm too tired. It's too far. My legs hurt too much. I'm not 20 anymore here, whatever it is. But that I'm going to go further. And in the act, I am pushing myself and not just the bike. Yeah.
It gives you that thing, Paul, where you, for me, I like to push myself right to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing worse than being 7 miles from home and going, I've pushed myself a little too far today.
Pushed myself over the cliff here. I can't come back up.
I mean, look, Paul, I'll let her tell you, but there's been two or three times I've been laughed at mightily when I had to call and surrender and say, I don't care. You need to come pick me up.
Come get me.
I'm not going to make it home.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that's taken out of the picture, which allows us to be more comfortable. And then she knows that she's not going to run out of energy. So no matter how long the ride is, I mean, in her case, she can go to, 60 miles with your boomerang, I think. I can do about 50. It gives us that ability to go further and enjoy it more.
And that's it. In the process of going further, you enjoy it more. You're spending more time on the bike. And then whether you realize it or not, you are pedaling more. You are active more, and you are not just happier, it seems like people are getting healthier.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we don't have to worry about planning our days so much as to when we can ride, because the wind, that just doesn't make a difference anymore to us. We can go now. And then the other thing, you know, that's very beneficial to us is we have a 16-year-old grandson, and we invited him down a couple weeks ago to go on a ride. And we ended up doing a 32-mile ride, and we were good to go. And
he's huffing and puffing,
I'm not sure how happy he is about that little ball, but we did have fun the entire time.
Yeah, right.
So we know we can keep up with the grandbabies, so there
you
go.
You're in that age where I remember the song Christopher Cross, Ride Like the Wind from the 80s. Yeah. That's what you're not
That's
riding.
Right.
You're riding with the wind. You're riding like the wind here.
Yes, we are, and loving it.
All right, so how has this changed your life anyway? Is this just once in a while we have fun, and the rest of the time it sits in the garage gathering dust? Or does this get you out? I guess I'm asking a leading question, because it seems like it does get people out more often.
It does. It does.
Because I got a beautiful bike, by the way. I got a beautiful road bike, too. I hang clothes on it in the garage. It's a great clothes hanger.
We got one for sale.
Paul, I got one for sale that you can actually ride while you keep the clothes in.
There, yeah. I mean, I really had all the best intentions, and I rode it when I was younger. I'm 66 now here, and I rode it for many years. And somewhere along the way, it was harder to ride it, and I rode it less. And pretty soon, it's just hanging from the ceiling on those hooks so I can put the car under it. And it's been a while since I brought it down, like really long. And that's bad. That's sad.
You know, Paul, for me, one of the things that's interesting, you know, I had the, we'll call it a privilege slash experience of being hit by a car while cycling in 2008.
Oh, my God. Yikes. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, I can tell you that that will change the way you view cycling.
Yeah.
My cycling had declined a lot. Then the trail came, you know, and then our joint efforts were not, you know, what they were. But I feel so much safer with that safety valve of knowing if I have to move in a hurry and get somewhere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how hard I've pushed myself that day or how much workout I've done, because I've got that ability to press a lever and get that exertion, or I've got an ability to, you know, ramp up the amount of assist it's giving me so that I can ride further and still enjoy
it. We had somebody come on a show, and I guess I didn't really understand that till you said that. And he said it wasn't just people think, well, gee, more speed gives you a chance to get into more trouble here, so I'm going to go faster. But he said he viewed it as a way to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. If you're at a stop and you're waiting for cars to go by, and now it's your turn, you can quickly hit your throttle and get across that intersection. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel a lot more confident in knowing that I'm going to make it across there before the next car comes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and I love not having to clip in, Paul. I mean, look, I liked my clips when I was riding my road bike, but I love not having to clip in.
Yeah.
And that little bit, you know, we always just glance down a little bit to make sure the shoe gets snapped in.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do that now.
Yeah.
And I get across the road, and I know some moron's not going to come flying faster that I missed with my eyes and get me.
And that really happened, it sounds like, in real life to you here. Wow. All right. So it sounds like you've learned something along the way here, which is only appropriate because I'm looking at your card, and they call you the professor. Why do they call you the professor?
Yes.
Well, Paul, I'm a recovering college professor. And
for those who, okay. All right.
For those who don't understand, that's a very, very long recovery process. It stems for me from a complete allergy to bureaucracies for the long term.
Oh, boy. And that's what colleges are built around, is bureaucracies, at least the ones I went to. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I left that world, became a full-time professional speaker, coach, and consultant. I still do that. The current role I have, which I had the privilege of talking to the founder of Pedego, Don, about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. When I had the privilege of meeting them, and that we help companies develop leaders, because that's what I believe in, that the world needs better leaders. We need more leaders.
And we're just looking for leaders. We never want to. That was the big push that for years Jack Welch always preached at GE, supposedly. We're going to develop leaders. We're not just going to go poach somebody else's leader. Absolutely. We're not just going to run an ad and say, come, we're looking for leaders here. We're going to develop leadership. That's a whole different, that means an investment that takes time. I don't know, do companies have the investment or the time anymore? They just want to go get it done, it seems like.
Well, I think what we're discovering, Paul, is there's a deeper and deeper desire to recognize that people matter more than we used to think they matter.
Right.
And in leadership success, you got to develop the people to understand that.
So do you think then that people are an investment or are just a cost?
They're an investment.
Because too often companies see them as a cost, and I'm going to save cost, cut cost. That means cut people, right?
And that person who feels that way, Don or Paul, we would say, you're not our client. Because we know we can't help you if that's how you see the world. If you don't see the people as an investment that you're putting. I mean, it's the same as why we bought e-bikes. It's an investment in us and this last quarter of our lives and how we want to live that.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought about it. So it's not just... Right. It's not just there's a cost, obviously, to all these things.
Of course.
Some of these things are cheap. Or is developing leadership probably cheap or quick? But you're making a commitment and an investment. I never thought of it. That's the first time I've ever had it described that way. You make an investment in yourselves there. Interesting.
And we made an investment into our future, too. I'm just like a little thing. We just bought a bike rack that is suitable to take both of our bikes if we want to go on vacation and take our bikes with us. How could we not?
Yeah, right. As one turned into another, I remember years ago when I bought a boat and I thought, I'm just going to buy a boat. And then pretty soon I had to buy skis and then I had to buy jackets and I had to buy a trailer and then I bought this. Pretty soon it became, I got a lot of stuff invested in this, but one turned into another. Is it like that?
So Paul, before I let Brenda tell you the real truth, I
got to say, oh, come on, Brenda. All right.
You just defined the male side of things. And as I heard someone joke, I bought an e-bike. And now I realize I spend more money buying stuff for my e-bike than I spend for the women I date. Yeah. That's not my case, but I'm sure Brenda can share far more insight into the true answer to your question.
All right, Brenda, it's back to you. What's the true insight here? Is this an addiction once
should
you get,
I
get it?
Should I get my list out and read it to you?
Yeah.
What he's bought for his new bike? He needs to name his new bike because he's treating it like a person.
I love that. But that brings one of the other themes I hear over and over again. There's something youthful about this. I gave it some name, the Avenger or something. You know, I was a superhero when I was on that bike. Yeah. And it meant something to me. My first car had a name. I think I called it I forgot, it was a girl's name. I have to think back now.
Of course it was.
It was a girl's name. And so, but it wasn't just the car. It wasn't just a brand. It was a person. I gave it a personality to it. And so I wonder, are people, I asked somebody once on one of these shows, he said, no, I don't name my bike. I said, oh, okay. And then that would just be me. But have you given your bike a name? Has it got a personality? Is it more than just the Ridge Runner model here?
I'm pondering at the moment, it's going to become Spartacus.
Spartacus. I am Spartacus. Yes.
Paul, if you ever want to have real fun, Paul, go into a deli or somewhere and order a sandwich. And when they ask for the name, tell them Spartacus.
Yeah.
Because when they call you, it'll crack the entire place up and it'll be a great day for everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, you got to be of a certain age. Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
Gene Simmons or Laurence Olivier. Spartacus. Yeah. And at the end, they capture the whole giant insurrection. And he stops up and he says, okay, which one of you thousand people, if you tell us who Spartacus, we'll let you all go. And they all stand up one by one. I am Spartacus. I am Spartacus. I am Spartacus. Yes. So they kill them all. What a great story.
Just to kind of close that, I think my bike's name would have to be Spirit. Because every time I get on it, it raises my spirit.
Wow.
And it gets me to where I want to go and have fun knowing I'm going to go somewhere and do something, being out of the house, not sitting in front of the TV.
We do another show here, not for Pedigo. We produce some other shows here on the network. And it was a couple that's traveling the world. And they just came back from Bali. And they said, what was so weird about Bali is everything has a spirit animal, spirit house. They hug the tree. They celebrate everything as a spirit within it. I thought, does my car have a spirit? Does my toaster have a spirit? I don't think of it. I just think of it as an appliance, as a product. But you're saying that you feel like some spiritual, this is your spirit animal, your spirit guide or something almost.
Yeah, like at Christmas time, it had Christmas lights on it.
Of course it
was the Christmas spirit.
The Christmas spirit. Well, you guys have got the right spirit. We need to have you more on because you really are embodying what I feel.
Anytime.
I always say to people, the good news is, well, they tell me I'm going to live to be 100, given my, you know, history and age. And I say, is that the good news or the bad news?
Yeah, really.
For you, it's definitely the good news here. So new trails to blaze, new things to learn, new investments to make, and still going. I remember when my aunt reached 90, my late aunt, she died a number of years ago, but when she reached 90, she said, I want to go get a new car. I'm like, a new car? You're 90. And she said, what do you think, I'm not going to live? And I'm like, no, let's go get you a new car. Absolutely. No, what am I saying? Yeah. So you're never too old for something new and make an investment in yourself and to keep going here. All right. Well, anything else you'd like to tell people that are still lagging behind that haven't tried yet? I'll start with Michael. What do you say? You're the professor. What would you tell people? What's your lesson for today here?
I'm going to say that most of what you've heard about e-bikes is probably wrong if you haven't looked into them seriously. Mm-hmm. Number one, they're not devil machines.
Yeah.
You know, they
fake bikes. That's not a real bike. That's just
you're not cheating when you're riding an e-bike.
Right.
You're also not being if you're an idiot, you're an idiot, Paul, when you're riding a bicycle,
yes, right,
a tricycle or a go-kart.
Yes. Yes,
and,
yes,
you
yes.
know, the idiots you meet on the trail that give e-bikes a bad name.
Right.
They would give regular bikes a bad name.
Yeah.
Or
they'd be rude. They'd be cutting people off. They'd be going too fast or doing something here. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the freedom it gives you, the extra safety it gives you, the still ability to get a great workout. If you haven't tried them or thought about them, I encourage you to take a look at them.
What do you say?
I would have bet you $1,000 when she bought hers that I will never have one.
Yeah. Oh, there's the truth. There's a truthful statement, and yet it boomeranged right back, that boomerang model, and brought you back in. What do you say, Brenda?
And I would never have said I would ever sell my bike.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The other one's for sale. So, Brenda?
Brenda, what? Because you sound like the story we hear. I tried it. I had to have it. I mean, is it that quick?
I think I called him back the next day.
Yeah,
I called him back the next day because I wanted to go back and make sure that the bike I rode was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. The one I went back in and rode was the Boomerang. Mm-hmm. And that was the bike for me. I'm a short person. I'm only 5 foot. So wow. I had to have something you could step through and get off of easily and get my feet on the ground. So that bike fit me perfectly. And they have a bike for everybody.
They really do. Even trikes and other sorts of things.
Yes, they do. They have it for everybody. But take your time and figure out which one is for you.
Well, you took a long time. You took all of 2 rides to fall in love with this thing here. So,
yeah, but I made him wait for 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah. Did you guys fall in love that fast? Was it love at first sight when you met, or did it take 2 or 3 months for this to develop here? I'm just curious.
Oh, you don't even want to hear this story.
I'd love to share the story with you, Paul. We don't have another 20 minutes.
Okay. All right.
But in fact, there is very much that element to it, to our story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's a continuing story. We thank you for letting us ride along here today. Michael and Brenda, I'll do it the opposite way this time. Michael and Brenda Hudson, somewhere in that strange little state called Delaware that I know nothing about, they're finding a way to ride like the wind here and find new adventures. Thanks for joining us here today.
Sure.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. If that's not another fun example of why you've got to ride along each and every time, I don't know what is. What's it going to get to get you up on a bike here? Or to go try one? Ride along. There's an e-bike revolution happening, and we're chronicling it each and every week here on the Pedego Podcast, brought to you by Pedego.com.